Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
Hello, there we go. Thanks, Shane. Legend. How good was that? Oh man, how good is Jesus? All right, I'm just going to pray before I start, and then we'll get stuck into it. Oh. There it is. All right, Lord, we thank you that you're here with us tonight, that you love us so much, that you love every single person in this room. Father, I thank you that your name is so powerful, that there is freedom in the name of Jesus, that there's freedom in what you did for us, that that's what you paid for. And being a follower of you means that we don't lose anything, but we come into the fullness of what you designed us to be. And I just pray that people would know that tonight, that excess would know their identity as children of a king, as children of light, that they would know how free they are from darkness, they would know how loved they are, how powerful your name is, and how much you're for them. Thank you that you're on our side, that you're our king and our healer and our father and our friend. In your awesome name, amen. Awesome. Well, this is a really weird set out. I feel like there's a lot of room here, but not a lot of room over there. So we'll see what happens. So my parents were pretty laid back on like the parenting front. I've never like been grounded. I never had the like don't date until you're 16 rule. Wasn't an issue, but didn't have it. I didn't have a bedtime. I didn't have all of that sort of stuff. And so in my mind, I was kind of like, oh, like, I want to turn out all right. So I kind of made out my own rules and I grounded myself once because it was a week until I turned 18. And I was like, I feel like it's a rite of passage that you should be grounded once in your life. So I picked up an apple and I threw it at my mum and I was like, I'm grounded. I'm going to my room. And then I came out 10 minutes later. I was like, yeah, I've done it now. That was good. But yeah, I kind of thought like it kind of meant I made up my own rules. But I said this to my mum the other day and she's like, well, that's what I wanted you to think. I was like, my whole life is a lie. But one thing that my mum did drill into me my entire life was this one phrase. Whose parent has like a catchphrase? Yeah? My mum's was this. Life is about choices and with every choice comes a consequence. And she would say it all the time, and it'll be one of these things where it's like, hey mom, should I do this? And she'd be like, well, life's about, and everyone else in the family is like, choices, with every choice comes the consequence. And it was like, I'd ask her about anything and she'd always give me the same piece of advice. It'd be like, mom, like, what should I study in year 12? Like, what subject should I do? This is really serious. And she's like, well, life's about choices. Thanks mom. Like, mum, like, should I drop out of uni? Like, that's a huge decision. Like, should I do this? She's like, well, life's about choices. I'm like, cool. Like, mum, should I eat this last piece of pizza? Like, I know I'm going to feel sick. She's like, well, you know, with every choice comes a consequence. So it's up to you, Bethany. I'm like, just tell me what to do. But it was this really handy way of looking at things that kind of got drilled into me from a young age. And it meant that whenever I'd come up to a situation, I didn't have to, like, start from scratch and kind of figure out what lens to look through a situation with. And I didn't have to, yeah, kind of figure out who I am, how I fit in, how this is going to work, and then make a decision. You know, I could come back to this piece of wisdom and I could use that in any situation and help me make a decision. So it was, yeah, it was really handy. And I appreciate that instead of, you know, being strict and having a bunch of rules and doing all of that, like my parents, they empowered me to decide, you know, what worth I was, what decisions I make, the power of them, the consequences that come from the decisions that I make. And I just thought that was encouraging as far as this wisdom series that we're doing. And it's not a matter of rules. And if you haven't been a Christian for long, even if you've been in church your whole life, like being a Christian, it's not about rules. It's not about like do this or don't do this. It's not even like here's a guideline of how to live your life and you have to stick to it really, really, you know, carefully. You know, it's freedom. That's actually the message of the gospel. It's not living like a Christian. It's living as a child of God. It's not about looking like something. It's like actually living out your identity. And so this wisdom series, it's the expression of truth in our lives. It's like when truth hits us and we get it and we realize who we are, like wisdom is what flows naturally from that space. And when we embrace that, we have the mind of Christ in us. The Bible says that. And we have the Spirit of God in us. All of those things. You know, wisdom flows from that. Wisdom doesn't flow from do this and don't do this. And so mum's wisdom was helpful sometimes, sometimes annoying, but it was helpful. But, you know, it was limited with what it could get me. It was limited as far as, yeah, the big scheme of things. But, like, my Heavenly Father has blessed me with not only the Word of God and this Word of wisdom, the Bible, but He's blessed me with the Holy Spirit who lives in me. And He's blessed me with my best friend, Jesus, who walks next to me and He speaks into my life about this stuff. And you guys are the same. If you decided to follow Jesus, then you're in the same boat. And that's a really empowering place to be. And so, yeah, I've been... In preparation, I've been swimming in the book of Proverbs. There's just so much random stuff in there, really good stuff. But Solomon is the guy that wrote it, and Solomon was called like the wisest man in the world, the wisest man of all time. And he wrote Proverbs. In Proverbs 8, he said, "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." It's a real opportunity that we have. You know, you guys have a whole term on wisdom, and it's an opportunity to feast off of something that's better than jewels. Like, that's what Solomon said, that, you know, he was presenting information that was of more worth than jewels and gold and silver. And that's a real opportunity, and that's huge. So tonight, I'm going to delve into the world of movies and music and wisdom around that. And I just wanted to, you know, preface that a little bit with that, you know, idea that it's not about condemnation and it's not about do this, don't do this. Like, these are the movies a Christian should be watching. These are the movies a Christian shouldn't be watching. It's not about that. But it's about wisdom in what we do put into our bodies. It's about wisdom in what we are consuming and what we're letting consume our thoughts. And, you know, I'm in a similar situation with you guys. You know, I love a good movie. I love a good trashy TV show. I love a good banger. But, like, you have to be conscious of what is going in, because what goes in is often what comes out as well. Entertainment has become, I don't know if you guys agree with this, but it's become such a right in society. We have this, like, expectation that we deserve to be entertained, and we deserve to have something always there that we can grab, that we can do, that we can see. Like, it would be really weird if all of a sudden just no movies were released for the year and no music was released. Everyone would think, like, you know, we deserve this. Where is this? Like, we want it. We have this constant movement in our lives, or we get bored. And I'm guilty of this myself, this instant gratification thing. And, like, for me, I read a book the other day. Whoa. No, but I hadn't read a book in ages. And I used to read books all the time, but, like, a proper, like, fiction book. I hadn't read one in ages. And I was reading it, and I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, it takes so long. Like, I can watch a movie, and I can know what happens in, like, 2 hours. It took me, like, 2 weeks to read a book. I wouldn't watch a movie for 2 weeks. I finished the book and then went and saw the movie as well. So it was, like, both sides of it. But it was this, yeah, it's like this instant, like, I want it now, because I can get it now as well. It's so accessible. Like, chuck your hand up if you have Apple Music on your phone. I do. Whoa, you guys should get it. It's awesome. Anyway, what about, like, Netflix or, like, Stan or Hulu or one of those things? Like, a YouTube app on your phone? Something like that. Who owns a TV? Exactly. We have so much accessibility into these things. We have so much access. They're just there whenever we want them. And sometimes, you know, that means they can have a control over us. Just listening. They can have a control over us and we don't even realize it. And so over and over again, you know, we give ourselves over to entertainment, and we give these people that we don't know, these directors and these writers and musicians and actors, we give them permission to get into our brains and to influence our lives. You know, even if it's just for an hour or for half an hour, or, you know, if it affects us long term, we're giving them free rein of our minds and saying, you know, feed me, get into my brain, feed me information. And like I said, like, I'm not saying this to condemn you or, you know, for listening or watching or anything like that. Like, sometimes those things can be so powerful. They can be helpful. They can be expressions of God's character. We can see and learn so much from those things. But it's just about awareness. And it's about being separate from the world. It's about being countercultural and realizing that, you know, there is influence, there are lies, there are things that are trying to steal our minds. And just to combat that. And you have to know what it is in order to be able to recognize it. And so, yeah. So it's a real opportunity, I think, for a group of young people to recognize that and to combat that, what we're letting consume us. I remember the first time I ever heard about subliminal advertising. It was in year six. Any of you guys who went to Pilgrim / still go to Pilgrim, it was in the staff room down like the end of the corridor. And it was this little tiny room, and they crammed all of us in there. And there was this little teeny tiny TV on like the top corner in a bracket. And everyone's sitting there like craning their necks like the whole lesson. Everyone's like looking down like, oh, my neck hurts. But it was just like memory, so good. But anyway, so in year six, I remember we went and we all sat down underneath this TV. And they showed us this advertisement, and it was this clip of like, I don't know what it was. Just imagine it's like a dog running through a field. And then there's this flash on the screen, and then it went back to the dog like running through the field. And everyone was like, what was that? Did you see that? What was that? And then they went back and they played it again, and they played it in slow motion. It was like dog running through the field. Coca-Cola, buy a can of Coke, dog running through the field. And they'd like flashed this picture of a Coke on the screen in this like split second thing. So it went into your subconscious, but like you didn't really recognize it. And so all of a sudden everyone's like, I want a Coke. Whoa, why do I all of a sudden feel really thirsty? And I was outraged. I was like, they can do that? Like, how often does that happen? And I remember going home and sitting, like, watching TV, like, and then you're not going to get me. Like, I'm watching you. Oh, what was that flash? Oh, it was just a flash because I'm watching TV. But I was so like, this is outrageous. They can't just manipulate me into buying a can of Coke. But then in saying that, like, I'm a total sucker for advertising. And, like, I definitely blame Year 6 for that. But, like, for me, like, I hang up on telemarketers. Like, not to be rude, but because I genuinely can't afford the new roofing that they're trying to sell me because I don't have a house, but I'll buy it if they can sell it well enough. I went to the aquarium at the start of the year and it was $20 extra to buy a year-long pass to any aquarium in the whole of Australia. And I was like, that is awesome. There's no aquariums in Adelaide. I'd have to travel interstate in order to use my pass. I'm a sucker for advertising. It's terrible. But it's this like, it was like that when I was in year six in this moment of like, I was manipulated. Like, they tricked me. And then this like realization that even now, me just hearing myself say that, I'm like, I'm an idiot. How did I let them sell me that? You know, but it's this awareness that we need to have that people are trying to sell us things and they're trying to get into our minds and they're trying to give us information that is separate from the gospel and it's separate from the truth and it's separate from the freedom that, you know, Jesus paid for you guys to know. And what we come and we tell you on a Friday night how free you are and how loved you are. But there are, you know, lies in the world that are telling you otherwise, and we have to be aware of that. I mean, just the fact that there is 6,500 movies on Netflix and 1,600 TV shows, and there's never anything to watch. No, but there is always, like, when you want something, it's there. When you feel like you need to feel this way or you want to think this way, like, there's something there that's for it in the form of entertainment. And when that is so accessible and that's so quick and that's so immediate, we forget that it's there in the Word and it's there in the person of Jesus and it's there in our best friend. We forget to even come to Him. We forget He's even an option because the world is telling us otherwise and it is trying to manipulate us. We don't even notice the fact that the entire Australia thought that Nikki was going to win The Bachelor and then everyone is so heartbroken when she doesn't. It's not a coincidence that everyone feels the same way. It's not a coincidence that everyone feels that same outrage. It's strategic and it's manipulative. And we hand ourselves over to these shows and to these movies and to these people, because there are people behind it, but we hand ourselves over to this and we give them permission to take over our thoughts. You know, this entertainment that can be incredible outlets for creativity and honouring Jesus, like I said before, we put ourselves in the passenger seats of our minds and we let them drive us, often in a negative way, and it's not good. But why do you think it is that we can, you know, we can struggle to give that same responsibility to Jesus, like I said? Why do we think there's less satisfaction in the person of Jesus and in his word than what we get on Netflix and what we see in movies and in music? So before I continue on, I want to chuck Ephesians 5 on the screen. Some of it, just a few verses. But this part of scripture is really foundational in this wisdom series. It's really powerful. I love Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books. If you're wondering what to read this week, jump into Ephesians. It's a good time. But this part of scripture, it speaks a lot about kind of what I was speaking about at the start, as far as it's about wisdom flowing from our identity. It's not about, you know, do's and don'ts. It's about this is who you are. Of course, this is how, you know, your life looks when that is the truth. So it says, therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret, but when anything is exposed by light, my iPad stops working, it becomes light. Sorry, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time because the days are evil. So this verse, what does it tell us that we once were? Darkness. So what does it tell us that we are now? Light, children of light. It tells us who we are. It tells us how to live, walk as children of light. Expose darkness for what it is. Bring it into light. Be intentional in the way we live. Live out wisdom. Make the best use of our time. It shows us, you know, can we keep some of it maybe still on the screen, but it shows us what to look for in our lives, like the markers of identity. You know, it says the fruits that are good and right and true. It invites us to intentionally look at our lives. How do we spend our time? What are the fruits of the things that we have in our lives? Are we experiencing this goodness and this truth? Are the things that we do and we say, are the relationships that we have, are the movies that we're watching and the time that we're spending, are they producing good and right and true fruits? And if not, let's be really intentional. Let's make the choice to live actually what we were created to live. Let's step into the light and let's expose darkness. And that's not me saying that movies are darkness and that movies are evil and things like that. But when they come against the truth of Jesus and they come against the truth of who you are and your identity, then they need to go. Something has to change, whether it's your perspective on them or whether it's the physical thing themselves. Something has to change in that situation. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This cycle and this obsession and this addiction with entertainment is a pattern of the world. And like I said, as long as there's darkness in the world, you know, there's going to be this other option. There's going to be another sort of seemingly more entertaining thing that's trying to draw you out. But the truth of who you are, it's a choice that you get to stand in. You get to stand as a child of the light. And that's, yeah, it's a choice of why would you not want to make that? Don't give away your mind to be renewed by anyone other than Christ. be conscious and present and aware of who you are and whose you are. As soon as your entertainment or your movie watching, your habits, the things that you're consuming, treads on the territory that Jesus paid for to give back to you, that's when it's gone too far. So that chapter in Ephesians, it goes on to say, there's another little bit if you can check it on the screen. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. God's heart is never to squash our fun. Just want to clarify that. He has heaps of fun. Like, if that's an expression of heaven, of singing and thanking and praising and all of that, that joy, that excitement, like, heaven's a freaking party. Why would God want to squash our fun? It was fun. The other week I was talking with my small group and we were saying, like, how good is, like, worship music on earth? Like, how good is real love? How good are, like, the songs that we sing? Like, how much better must it be in heaven? We're going, like, imagine God just, like, rocking out to real love and, like, Jesus doing the rap in This Is Living. But just, like, the freedom and the excitement. God's not here for some, like, boring do this, don't do this. It's not about that. He knows how to have a good time. And His ways are so true and right. He's paid everything for us to be liberated beyond compare. Freedom from needing to be entertained. Freedom from feeling left out. Freedom from needing to be addicted to things. So learn and embrace this wisdom. Understand His heart of freedom and love. It's for freedom that Christ sent us free. He never calls us away from something unless He's replacing it with something 50 times better. You know, that verse says, don't get drunk on wine. It's like, oh, dang it. Christians aren't allowed to get drunk on wine. This sucks. It's like, but be filled with the Spirit. Like, sing over one another. Rejoice, dance, give thanks. Like, it's like, here's option A. The world tells you that's what you want, but don't you get how good it actually is? Like, He always replaces it with a better option. You never have to worry about being left out. I was chatting to Shane the other day, and he was telling me about a message that he heard from Dan Moeller. And this guy, Dan Moeller, is insane. If you've got like 3 hours spare, go listen to one of his sermons. Legitimately, they're that long, but they're amazing. And he was talking about like the cost of following Jesus and the cost of discipleship. And people often, you know, really emphasize that and say like, whew, you know, you're going to lose everything. Like, they really emphasize the thing that you lose. But Dan Moeller made this point that the only thing that it costs us to follow Jesus is what we were never intended to be in the first place. If you think the fruits that often come from watching some of the messed up stuff that we can watch, that we have access to, we were never designed to be angry or scared or lonely or covetous or lustful. We were never designed to be any of those things. And so if, you know, the cost is not watching them, it's not consuming them, it's not letting them rule your minds, then the only thing you're losing are the things you were never designed to be in the first place. I really want to challenge you guys in this, you know, to shake it up, to be countercultural and be a bit different, to use wisdom in this area, to be conscious of what you're consuming. Philippians 4 says, whatever is true, you guys have probably heard this, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think if the time that you're spending is glorifying God. Think if maybe you're giving yourself over to be entertained and giving yourself over to someone to control your thoughts, to get away from something. I'm not condemning you or judging you for that, but just think, is it the most helpful use of your time when you have another option, when you have the person of Jesus who's sitting and He's waiting and He's so keen for you to come hang out with Him? But then at the same time, like, see how you can use these things to glorify God. Look for that stuff in that Philippians verse. Look for the truth and the honor and the just and the pure and the lovely and the commendable. Look for those things in the things of the world. Pull them out. Recognize them. Glorify God for them. I had a friend that went to a Coldplay concert. And she said there was this point where who's been to a Coldplay concert? None. Well, apparently they're insane. I haven't personally. But apparently they're just like one of the best concerts that you'll ever go to. And apparently there was this moment she was there and everyone was just like worshipping Coldplay. Like they're singing and their hands are up and they're cheering and they're jumping. And there was this moment of everyone was like pouring out themselves to Coldplay. And it was this moment that she like could not help her but praise Jesus and start worshiping Jesus. It was like there was this spirit of worship that was pulling her into this place of I want to give thanks and I want to worship and I want to honor, but I want to do it to Jesus instead of Coldplay. And so she spent, you know, one of the songs or whatever just praising Jesus and worshiping and singing worship music. And then she said that afterwards, she met up with some friends who were Christians as well from the same concert. And they said, as if, like in the same moment, we felt exactly the same thing. Like we couldn't help it. We were just praising from the other side of the stadium. You know, the things of the world, God created the world. He's in it. You can see him in everything. Let's give him glory for that. We don't give him enough glory for who he is and the things that he's created. Anything we love, he loves it too. You know, let's give him glory in those things and the things of the creation. Don't waste your time because the days are evil. You're a child of the light, so live like one. Let your light shine and carry your identity proudly, glorifying God in everything that you do. I'm going to pray and the band can jump back up if you would like. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the price that you paid. We thank you for what it means to be a child of you. We thank you that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that you don't take away from us things that we deserve and you aren't an angry God or a mean God, but you're a loving Father. And you lavish gifts upon us and you want us to be full of joy and full of hope and full of freedom. You want us to glorify you in everything, Father, and we do that tonight. We give you all of the praise for being here. I thank you for every single person in this room, that they were made in your image, that they were made in your love, that they are children of light. Speak to us. Show us how we can glorify you more. We thank you that you're here and that you love us. You're so good. Amen. Let's just praise God for how good he is. Let's glorify him. Imagine what heaven is doing right now, the bangers that are happening in heaven. You know, let's just worship him because he's amazing.